Good word, good word. That's a $6 word right there. All right, before I get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this night. Pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to understand. And Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us, open your word, and let it be spoken plainly. And Lord, get me out of the way. In Christ's name, amen. So I was reading in a devotion. This was not recently. This was like, I don't know, 12 years ago. And I noticed something I never, ever saw before. So if we could turn to John chapter 6. And Brother Gamut already expounded on this a little bit. He basically read it. But I just wanted to just show you a couple of things out of this that just blew my mind a little bit. And so it says, and they entered into the ship, went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus would not come to them. If you remember, he went to a mountain to be by himself because the crowd was pressing in on him. So the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And then, if you'll notice the next verse, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately, not in 20 minutes or not in 10 minutes, but immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. That to me is a miracle. That to me, I looked at that and I said, wow, that was a miracle. They had rowed quite a distance in a howling, raging storm, and they saw Christ, and when they received him into the ship, bam, just happened. They were at the place where they were trying to get. No more labor of trying to row out of the storm. Jesus came into the boat, and they basically were saved. So the miracle that I'm going to talk about tonight is the immediacy of Christ, the immediacy of Christ. Can you imagine the King of the universe can come into your life and you can be saved immediately? He can immediately be in your life as a Christian from the first day of salvation and before that by the convincing power of God. In other words, when you get saved, you don't have to wait to get baptized. You don't have to wait to study the books of the Bible or do sacraments or anything like that. You can immediately, as soon as you accept Christ, you're immediately in the family of God forever. Wow, that's spectacular to me. So I don't do homiletically very well. I slept during most of homiletics class when I was in college. So I just do acrostics because it's so easy because I can spell sometimes. And I'm just going to do the immediacy of Christ. I'm going to take the word immediacy. I'm going to expound each letter as I do and just give you what I think that's trying to say to us or what I feel like it's trying to say. So I is for immediacy of Jesus Christ and salvation. So there is an immediate problem. And the immediate problem that we have, and everybody has, is sin. Sin is immediate in our lives from our first breath that we take to the last breath we take. There is an immediate solution. Now, just because you get saved doesn't mean you're saved from sin. I mean, you are saved from sin, but you're not saved from sin. You're going to sin every day. I mean, you just do. I mean, we are sinners by nature and sinners by choice. We choose to sin. But thank God, God doesn't see us as we are. God sees us through the prism of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ makes us pure, which to me is spectacular. I mean, just blows my mind. So that's the immediate solution is Jesus. Jesus paid for our sins over 2,000 years ago, and his blood is still potent enough to save people today. There's no problem with the potency. It's the problem of us not telling people. We fail every day. There's no special formula for salvation. Just reaching out to Jesus who offers a free gift is an immediate solution for sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth, or God showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, it says, this is the record, this is the proof that God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe in the Son of God, and you may know, you not think, that you may know that you have eternal life. This life is in his Son. So, I is for the immediacy of Jesus Christ and salvation. M, I'm going to spell immediacy, just so catch me if I mess up. M is for the manifestation of Christ in your daily walk immediately after salvation. It's immediate. When we must start to grow in Christ immediately. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. You can't grow without reading your Bible. You cannot grow without listening to sermons and talking to people about Jesus Christ. I mean, even talking to a friend about Jesus Christ, God can use that to cause you to grow. Christians help us to mentor us. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou be also tempted. It really bothers me when people say, I get offended by these new Christians and they use bad words or they don't do what we're supposed to. Listen, they're babies. They don't do things right yet. They don't do things correctly. There are people in our church that just are very, very, very young Christians. And we've just got to be patient. I mean, we can't expect them to be mature overnight. It takes time. So that's what we need to do. We are which are spiritual. We need to not be offended in those things. I mean, it's another thing if you've got a mature Christian that offends you and you got to go to them and you got to say, you offended me. So, you know, that's one thing. But to take these little baby Christians and say, you offended me, just not really right for a mature Christian to do that. So what manifestation of Christ, what do we have to do to start growing? Daily Bible reading and meditation of the scriptures helps us to manifest Christ in our lives. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 61:8 says, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform, that I daily perform mine, and I cut it off. That's all right. You get the idea. So M is for manifestation. The next M is for movement. The movement of Christ in our lives is immediate. God's direction is moving us to be a usable vessel for him. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I wanted to tell people, but I couldn't. It wasn't me. I just had to learn. God had to teach me how to talk to people about him. Maybe it took me a long time to mature. But, I mean, now it's kind of like second nature. Somebody's not saved. I kind of try to talk them and steer them into the way of Jesus Christ. When I'm working out at night and in the morning at the gym, I mean, I talk to people, I tell them about our church, tell them about Jesus Christ and what he's done. And I mean, they kind of look at me like I have two heads because it's very foreign to people, very foreign to people. A lot of the culture that we have in our country has changed. I mean, when I was in college, I could talk to people, and it was totally different. They respected the Bible, respected God. Now it's like, they don't know what you're talking about. What is he talking about? Wow. So the movement of Christ in our lives should be immediate. God's direction is moving us to be usable for him. Psalms 85:13 says, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Psalms 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And Acts 18:25, the man was instructed in the way of the Lord. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. So M is for movement towards Christ. E is for enlightenment. We are immediately enlightened to understand the ways of the Lord. When before I was saved, the Bible was totally foreign. I couldn't even sit there and read it. I'd start in Genesis, of course, and then just start from the beginning. Terrible way to do that. Just hard. But when I got saved, my father in the ministry said, well, why don't you try starting in John, read through John, and then go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again, and then in the New Testament. Save the Old Testament for, like, next summer. I said, oh, okay. But so we're immediately enlightened to understand the ways of the Lord, whether it's through someone mentoring us or whether it's through the Word. It says immediately after salvation, we're enlightened to understand God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. No wonder people, new Christians, they just can't figure it out because, I mean, they can, once they get saved, wow, then the whole scripture. When I first got saved and I started having daily devotions, I mean, wow, I ate that stuff up because I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't get enough of God's word. It was like causing me, I could feel myself growing. I could feel it. I mean, it was unbelievable. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as I am known." I know it's talking about the word of God, but it's also talking about the spiritual being within, to me anyway. So I is for immediate, M is for manifestation, M is for movement, E is for enlightenment, D is for danger. The danger of denying salvation of Christ is immediate because you never know when your last opportunity will be given. Can you send away your day of grace? Absolutely, I believe that. This is the unpardonable sin. Acts 4:24-25, "And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for the time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for you.'" Felix, in my opinion, and I can't be sure, I mean, I'm not, but in speculation, I think he died and went to hell because that was his one chance. You only might get one chance to be saved. God doesn't promise you more than one chance. He says, yes, he will draw all men to him, but he doesn't say he'll draw all men to him more than once. I mean, if some people get one chance, and if they don't get saved, I mean, is God unrighteous that they go to hell? No, because their sin sends them to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Their sin sends them to hell. When I was in college, we had a lot of people that there was one guy that put a sign on the door that said, "Predestined to hell, no." He didn't understand God's drawing power, and he didn't understand that it wasn't God that sends people to hell. We are already on our way to hell, and God just happened to scoop me up and scoop you up and scoop people up. I mean, we're on our way to hell. God is merciful. It's not that, you know, we do anything to merit anything. God does it by the pleasure of his goodwill. You never know when your time will come to leave this world. If you remember the parable in Luke chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room wherefore to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?' So it is that he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So you never know when it's time. God will say, you know, it's time for you to leave. I mean, you could win the lottery tomorrow, and God says, guess what? Got one day to enjoy it. Come on. Or, you know, he could say, you're never going to win the lottery, which is my case. In my case, I'll never win the lottery. I don't play it, so I don't win it. So anyway, just to say that you never know. You never know. So there's danger in denying salvation of Christ is immediate. So I is for immediate, M is for manifestation, M is for movement, E is for enlightenment, D is for danger, I is for inseparable. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are inseparable from him forever. Immediately we are kept by God the Father. John 10:29, "My Father which gave to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." 2 Corinthians 5:6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, not for salvation. I mean, it's not talking about accepting for salvation, but it's talking about our good works being accepted as a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. So we are kept by God the Father. We are inseparable immediately. A is for able because of what Christ did on the cross. He is able to do for us and provide what we need to serve him. What he provides and gives us the ability to do is he gives every man the ability to answer immediately. If you remember when it says in Matthew 10, chapter 9, it says, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak." And I think we're coming to those times when, I mean, Christians are being persecuted all over the world. And in this country, I think it's going to come to the point where, you know, we're going to be arrested for hate crimes and things of that nature. Don't take any thought about what you're going to say. Don't rehearse it. It's ridiculous. First of all, they're not going to believe anything you say. And second of all, I mean, God's going to give you exactly what you're going to say. And whatever the outcome is, it's going to be in God's hands. Simple. So A is for Abel. C is for Christ. We are in Christ. Truth and grace becomes immediately and precious. Jesus Christ is truth and grace. John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And actually, John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So we know that Jesus is truth. Based on John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, we see that I is for immediacy, M is for manifestation, M is for movement, E is for enlightenment, D is for danger, I is for inseparable, A is for able, C is for Christ, and Y is for yesterday. Salvation is immediate. You need to be saved yesterday. Remember the old adage, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today? I say don't put off till tomorrow what you should do yesterday. I mean, it's that immediate. You should be saved as of yesterday. 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't put it off. If you're not saved, don't put it off. I mean, what are you waiting for? I mean, you know, hell is a real big, wide open invitation, and heaven is available through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So he did it as of yesterday. So Peter knew. Now, if you go back to the another verse in one of the other Gospels, it says Peter asked the Lord, "Lord, help, you know, have me come out and talk to you. I'll walk on the water. I'll walk with you." And so and the Lord said, "Okay, come on out." And Peter knew right away he was sinking. He didn't have to come into some long prayer and say, "Oh, Lord, the greatest master in the universe, we know that thou art mighty." No, he just said, "Help, Lord." That was his prayer. "Help, Lord, I'm sinking." Now, that was the accepted time to ask Christ for assistance, not at some long, drawn-out prayer. God doesn't care about these long, drawn-out prayers. A lot of times, God wants you to say, "Help, God, help me." I mean, I remember, this was back, I don't know, when I first started working for sales about, I don't know, 40 years ago. Now, I think I was newly saved. It was like 40 years ago. It was probably, I've been saved a couple of years. Been to Bible college and stuff like that. And the first day I was on the job, I was a bad snowstorm, and I was down through Sanger Field, and I got into it. I was going up the hill, and it was really storming, and the wind just cuffed my car, gusted my car, and it started weaving back and forth. And of course, the road was icy, and I'm going back and forth and back and forth. And I spun around, and there was this car coming toward me. I thought, "I'm dead. I'm dead. This guy's going to hit me." And I just said two simple words, "Help, Lord. Help, Lord." Well, the guy missed me. I did put my car in a ditch. It did total the car, but I didn't get really hurt bad. And I really believe that the Lord was with me. There was an angel on my shoulder, basically. And I said, "Boy, the Lord, the guardian angel that the Lord has for me, it really works overtime." And I just appreciate that so much. So let's have a word of prayer. I told you it wasn't going to be long. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the time that you've given me. I pray that you would help us to understand the immediacy of Christ. We need to do things immediately. When we feel the Holy Spirit giving us unction, we need to do these things immediately. And, Lord, thank you for this time. Be with us at our prayer time that we have to follow. In Christ's name, amen.